Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday, coming off of a weekend where the Falcons win on Sunday Night Football. Georgia Tech beats Clemson at home. Georgia goes into Knoxville and plays one of the crazy games you'll ever see. It beats the Tennessee Volunteers, and everybody's having a good time on Monday talking about it. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. Some Falcons highlights and some ins and outs from that one. We'll spend more time on the college football Saturday because we spent all of our college football segment time on Georgia beating Tennessee and Georgia Tech beating Clemson, and we'll probably do that in 15 minutes as well. But there was some other pretty fun games over the weekend. Some interesting stuff. A couple coaches got fired in college football already.
Both of them deserved it.
Yeah.
One of them didn't deserve to have the job in the first place.
One of them's probably a little bit relieved.
Yeah, like, let me go be I can go back and be a position coach.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. And then we'll get to an AMA at 140 as well. Any question, any topic, and as always on Mondays after Falcons games, you can call in and talk Falcons as well. But if you want to ask an AMA question, we'll do that at 140, and we'll get to the big story in just a minute.
Yeah, man, it was an unbelievable weekend. We talked about the game. Friday night game, like Deion, they got their head beat in.
Yeah.
They're not very good. I understand that, you know, he's never coached another quarterback other than Shadur, but, yeah, they're pretty bad. They're going to be look like first year back.
And Houston might be okay.
They could be.
Connor Wegman, right?
They could be.
Transfer quarterback.
Damn. But I'll tell you what, and one of the funner games and one of the funner players in college football is Diego Pava.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, damn, I'm glad he got that 1 year elevation. Even though you're like, let somebody else.
Yeah.
But still.
The way he got it was a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little.
Like they somehow were able to waive junior college years.
Yeah.
Towards eligibility now,
yeah.
But oh, whatever, man.
Whatever, dude.
Everybody's 27 now playing
he's
quarterback
good college
in college football.
Though.
Yeah, he's fun. As long as he's not, you know, as long as he's not throwing 6 touchdowns on Washington or Georgia, keep doing
y'all
it.
Y'all off this week.
Mean? Yeah, we're just hanging out. Just hanging out watching. No games.
Oh, yeah.
Gearing up for the Apple Cup this weekend.
Hold on, is this early?
Well, yeah, it's not a conference game anymore.
Oh, right.
Can we talk about what happened to the opponents in the Apple Cup?
Yeah, we can. We can talk about that. Sure, we could talk about North Texas beating Washington State like 65
North
to 10.
North Texas is good, ain't it?
I don't.
No
know.
One's that good.
I don't,
no
I don't
one's
know.
That good.
I don't know. But what I do know is that Washington State's not very good.
Right.
It seems, and I hope that'd be great. I hope Washington beats them bad like that on Saturday.
So
I don't know.
Oh,
they beat us last year, and some.
Well, their quarterback is down in Oklahoma doing some serious stuff.
And their offensive coordinator.
And the OC's down there.
Yeah.
And we might not get to it, but can Texas bench Arch? We'll give him a reset or something.
No, like it's too expensive. Oh, you can't.
Yeah, okay.
You can't bench that guy.
Oh, okay, I'm just checking.
All the NIL guys.
Yeah.
They were. Somebody talked him into it. Because nobody knew. Like,
right.
That's the thing about it. And that was what the ridiculousness of the summer was with all the Arch hype was like, you don't know that.
Right.
You never seen him play.
Yep.
You're not sure that he's going to be this, that, or whatever. And, you know, obviously we didn't buy into any of that. It was obvious. It was going to be intriguing to see if he could live up to any of it or how he was going to look. You throw for $114 against UTEP and
UTEP.
Get booed off the field.
They booed this man.
That's not what anybody was signing up for.
What is wrong with people?
Played bad. I don't know.
Booing a Manning. Oh, my God.
I don't know. He played boo-worthy. What was he supposed to do?
Oh, my God. And I'll tell you this. We'll get to the thing. The college football show that is going on ESPN in the morning, and the fans be out there.
You mean game day?
Yeah, game day. Yeah, that one. We're being such dorks. They were doing the damn Florida State chant when DeBoer was on.
Oh, they're messing up with DeBoer, yeah.
Dude, y'all are still Tennessee. All right, y'all don't do that kind of crap.
Why not? I think they beat them last year.
Who?
Tennessee beat Alabama last year.
I know,
year.
But you're doing the Florida State chant about them losing to Florida State earlier this year.
Yeah.
Such dork behavior. Such dork behavior.
I don't know. I think I like
such dork behavior.
I think I like some things that you consider dork behavior. It's petty. What are you supposed to do? It's your rival. They got beat by Florida
State. How much
y'all
worry about that ass whipping that that loss y'all just took from Georgia?
Well, they didn't know that yet.
Oh, you can't tell me they didn't. With all that damn checkerboard and all that.
Hey, man.
That was so cool.
It came to the.
It was so cool.
First of all, that stadium is quickly rising the ranks of bucket list stadiums for
people. Awesome.
I want to go to a game at Neyland so bad.
It is freaking awesome.
Number one, don't worry, Bo. Number one on the list is still Tiger Stadium with you. I want to go see an LSU game at night with you. But my father-in-law is a huge Tennessee fan.
Yeah, you tell him God don't like ugly.
Man.
Jim.
That was really something. Obviously, no one knows what we're talking about, but I will. I'll describe it quickly.
Yeah, you gave me a text. You said, Jim.
I'll read you the text.
You said, because you said it to me.
Let me read it.
I was like, what?
Let me read the text that I had to send Randy just preemptively on Saturday to say, just so you know, if you see any pictures of my kids today, I had nothing to do with it. It happened after we left, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jim is a savage, and my father-in-law.
And then when you said, I said, I bet Jim adds, dress my babies up in orange.
All orange. Not only that, he brought a bunch of orange and white balloons to our house.
Yes.
He had a big checkerboard, orange and white checkerboard banner that he hung up on our fireplace.
Yes.
They had orange and white cookies. And they treated my house. Again, we were there.
They were
nice enough to come watch our kids for free. So what am I going to say? Our house was Neyland South, man. I was going to say something to you last week. Like, I apologize. There will be a diehard Tennessee fan in my home watching that football game.
Yes.
But then it ended up the way you wanted it to. So.
Take that, Mr. Davis.
Jim was sad at the end of the
day. Can you explain why they don't paint the entire end zone?
Kind of
looks like crap.
Oh, where they leave a little green around the edges of the checker? I don't know.
Weird.
You should ask him. Orange
and white checkerboard is weird enough.
Well, because the white would bleed in with the line, probably.
Yeah, you can't have the white go right up to the out-of-bounds white.
So Abe knows.
Of course he knows.
Should have just asked Abe.
What about the front of the end zone?
White.
Anything else? God. I didn't pay that much attention. No, I know, but the checker in the stands was really cool.
Really cool.
That was really cool. But the best, I mean, I don't ever, because it was 8 years. We didn't whoop them that many times in a row.
Yeah, now nine.
And it was their chance. I told you this was their best chance,
and
too.
And it was, clearly.
The best chance. They won't beat us again. They won't beat us next year. But this was their best chance. But old pudgy dude with the glasses.
In the stands?
In the stands.
Poor guy.
Just love it.
He knew.
He
knew what we all knew when they iced their own kicker.
We got to go. But how did I retweet the picture, and it wasn't my fault. My thumb accidentally hit the retweet picture of the Tennessee fans who thought it was good. The field goal was good. It was jumping up and down. That was an accident, though.
I had a bad angle.
Let me go and erase that.
Is that dork behavior?
Yeah. No. That wasn't dork behavior. You just thought you won. No, dork behavior is...
No, I was saying you retweeting them.
No, that's not dork behavior. Huh. That's just petty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not a dork. That's just petty.
Okay. Let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Mason, play fake McCarthy, looking to throw. Walker got him. Jalen Walker. It's the third sack of McCarthy in his first half, and the Falcons' first-round pick puts his name in the book. A tight end and two receivers to the left. That's Aaron Jones. He's in the game with Mason. Both these guys. Kind of a little pony set here with McCarthy in the gun. And McCarthy looking to throw, and he's going to be sacked. The whistles blow because Atlanta got to him again, and that was Leonard Floyd. Falcons have rushed four each of the last couple snaps. Here comes a four-man pressure again. McCarthy going to sail this to the end zone. It's intercepted. Watts.
The two rookies.
Yep.
The Ball Hawks.
And at the three-yard line, Watts comes up with the interception, and he waves goodbye to those that have not already left U.S. Bank Stadium.
They asked him about that after the game, too, and he was like, hey, you got to have a little swag, you know?
Yeah, man. Why
you make a play like that, you do some cool stuff. You're allowed to do it.
Come on, man. Why'd I do that? It's cool.
I
thought it was cool.
I love that he did it, and then I love the explanation of why he did it. I love everything about it.
Was there a reporter offended?
No, okay. I think they just asked him about it. I don't think anybody had a problem with it. So all four rookies last night made an impact on the football game. Yes. Obviously, the DBs both getting interceptions, and Billy Bowman. I hope we don't say this after every game.
But he's going to.
He could have had a couple more.
He could have had two in the first game.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. Now, he got one
game.
Yesterday.
Yes.
He could have four.
The one he got yesterday was just.
Dude, that guy is
unreal. How he read the route and then caught the ball. I mean, just unbelievable young player. All of them, just the way they all stepped up. Because I think a lot of talk was going into, and it's just week one, but it's like, oh, where the rookies at? There was no pass rush, no pressure. And they all were able to get after this dude, man. They were able to affect the passer, but more importantly, they were able to tackle him, get him on the ground. And, you know, when you can do that, especially a young quarterback, you speed him up even more. Because he's like, oh, well, they're coming for me now.
Yeah.
And then so he has to speed up even more. And so the Falcons took advantage of that. I thought just, you know, even after A.J. went down, they were able to, you know, still stay aggressive. Because you would think that, you know, you lose your number one corner, one who probably was going to play Justin Jefferson. But now we got to bracket him and do all those different things. And I thought outside the one big play that Justin got, congrats on 500, mm-hmm. but that one big catch he got before the half really wasn't that big a factor after that.
If you're going to tell me going into the game Justin Jefferson has three catches for 81 yards and no touchdowns,
sign me up. Yep.
Sign me up, because that means he didn't affect the game the way that he often does. And so just think about, you know, I know, again, I'm not telling anybody how to react to a game one way or the other.
Right.
But I'm looking at it from the standpoint of things we've begged for happened,
mm-hmm.
sacking the quarterback and that run game looking how it did.
Yep.
Improvement from week one to week two, specifically the run game and the offensive line, who got destroyed week one and looked very good last night. And then just think about what last year looked like against those guys.
Yeah.
When the secondary couldn't even stay on their feet.
Yep.
And then to fast forward to this game, and you get a couple interceptions from guys that you drafted to replace those guys that couldn't do that job. And you go into that same building where they scored 42 on you last year, and you only give up six.
Six points.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good, the way you were able to affect the passer. I just say one more time, the offensive line got their lick back, man. They went out there. They established the run game. Told me you run the ball 22 times. We said Bijan 20-plus carries.
Got him.
I didn't know Tyler Algier was going to get 16.
Fine.
Love it.
Fine with me.
Yes. Yes. If you get 22 carries from B and then you get 16 from Tyler, mm-hmm. that means you are whipping some ass up front.
Yeah.
That means there are lanes. That means you're going to continue to do that.
You can honestly, you sign me up for those guys combining for 38 carries a game.
Yes.
Because they're not going to do it if you're not averaging 5-plus yards a carry,
correct.
Which they did between the two of them.
Correct.
Like, you're doing it because it's working. They couldn't stop the run at all. I do wonder why they kind of went away from it a little bit in the red zone.
Yes.
I do think
that's my thing. Run the damn ball.
You got down there running the football, and then you kind of start doing this other stuff.
Right.
Run the football when you get down there, and
yes.
I assume they will do that more if the run game looks like that.
Yeah, man. Hey, join the morning shift this Friday at McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta for a very special Friday morning broadcast. Come by, get all the get breakfast with Allie Mack, Big Mike, and Bo Johnson. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Bo Morgan. As we get you ready for the big weekend of college football and professional football, it's this Friday from 6 to 9 at the McDonald's on Northside Drive in Atlanta.
That was a must on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
McDonald's drive-thru.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We had to.
Dude.
It was the only way we were making it back to Atlanta.
What'd you get?
Sausage biscuit with egg meal, hash brown, bite it into a circle, put it on the sandwich, and two black coffees.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hell yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Hell yeah.
Got to soak it up.
I love them. That steak broccoli. Steak bagel. The steak bagel.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It might be possum meat, but it'd be hidden.
I think it is. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the college football recap. Great Georgia win. Great Georgia Tech win. And some of the other, as much of the other stuff as we can get to as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.